Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Our subject today, what is Advent all about? Our special guest is Father Anthony Stewart from Holy Family Catholic Church in Brentwood. I'll tell you more about him in a minute, but first, my monologue. The word Advent comes from the Latin term Adventus, meaning coming, particularly the coming of something great, importance. Advent season is a time of joy-filled celebration of the arrival of Jesus Christ. The Catholic Encyclopedia tells us Advent began sometime after the 4th century as a time of fasting in preparation for the Epiphany, rather than in anticipation of Christmas. Epiphany celebrates the manifestation of Christ by remembering the visit of the wise men, and in some traditions, the baptism of Jesus. Sermons focused on the wonder of the Lord becoming a man. At this time, new Christians were baptized and received into the faith, so the early church instituted a 40-day period of fasting and repentance. Later in the 6th century, St. Gregory the Great associated the season of Advent with the coming of Christ, not the coming of the child Christ, but the second coming of Christ. By the Middle Ages, the church extended the meaning of Advent to include the coming of Christ through his birth in Bethlehem, his future coming at the end of time, and his presence among us through the promise of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians choose to incorporate Advent wreaths into their preparation for Christmas. The wreath, often made of pine branches, has four or sometimes five candles. Religious stores have many, many varieties and variations. Catholic tradition states the four candles represent the 4 weeks of Advent. Each stands for 1,000 years, representing the 4,000 years from the time of Adam and Eve until the birth of Christ. One candle is lit on the first Sunday of Advent, and additional candles are lit every Sunday until Christmas. Each candle and their colors are packed with rich meaning. Each represents a specific aspect of spiritual preparations for Christmas. The first purple candle represents hope or expectation in anticipation of the coming Messiah. It is called the candle of hope or prophecy candle in remembrance of the prophets, primarily Isaiah, who foretold the birth of Christ. The second purple candle is the Bethlehem candle or the candle of preparation. It represents love and symbolizes Christ's manger. The third candle is pink, and it's called the shepherd's candle. It represents the joy to be experienced by the shepherds and the rejoicing that Christ will soon be here. The fourth and last purple candle, often called the angel's candle, represents the great host of angels who appeared at Bethlehem praising God. Often a white candle is placed in the center of the wreath, called the Christ candle. It represents the life of Christ that has come into the world. The color white represents purity, as Christ is a sinless, stainless, spotless, pure Savior. Those who receive Christ as Savior are washed of their sins and made whiter than snow. Now, many Christians choose to incorporate Advent wreaths into their family holiday traditions. They do this as a way of keeping Christ in Christmas celebration. Now, the above was taken from Learn Religion's website. And that kind of sums up the Advent wreath. But there is more to Advent than a wreath with candles. To tell us more about Advent, and let me introduce our expert guest, Father Anthony Stewart. You will remember Father Stewart being on our Christmas show last year. If you missed it, we will rebroadcast it the last week of Advent, December 22nd and 24th at 11:30 a.m. on WBOU 100.5 FM. Father Anthony is originally from McEwen, Tennessee. He attended Aquinas College and Josephine Seminary and studied at the North American Seminary in Rome. He was ordained to the Catholic priesthood June in 2018. Welcome, Father Anthony, to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. It's really a pleasure to have you again on our show.
It's great to be here, Par. Thank you.
You just can't imagine how thrilled I am to have you here. It seems to me, though, that the Advent wreath is really a summation of Advent. But last year, on the first Sunday of Advent, in your homily, you opened my eyes and my ears and my mind to a bigger message of Advent. Could you take some time and share that homily with our audience? Don't worry if it gets too long, I'll interrupt you. But please take as much time as you need.
Sure. Well, thanks, Par. I can't believe it's been a year since I was back on here. Appreciate your kind words about my homily. Yeah, I really love Advent, really, because it's a season of hope, season of expectations. And you know, a lot of us in our own lives have things that are less than perfect, things that we wish were better. I think, and I said in that homily, things aren't as they should be. And really, that's the place that we need to be in order to worthily celebrate the season of Advent, like to have hope. In order to have hope, it kind of necessarily means that we've got to be in a place where we don't want to be. We hope for something better to come. And, you know, everybody has their own imperfections. And when I was a kid, my parents were divorced. And so, like so many parents are this day and age. And it really just frustrated me. I was just like, man, if my mom and my dad can reconcile and they could be together, then things would be as they should be. But that didn't happen. But God works in mysterious ways, and he can bring really great things out of imperfection. And so if we just even think about the Christmas story, the way Jesus was born, you know, the King of the universe, the Son of God, was born in a stable. He was born in a really messy situation. We could say it was a stinky situation with all those cows and animals around. So it was a smelly situation, less than perfect. But God entered into it, and he really transforms it. And so when we look at those nativity scenes, do we not see hope? Do we not see warmth? And so God, in his coming, transcends those imperfect places and makes them really hopeful places.
Is there more to Advent than hope?
Yeah, there's joy, because there's that anticipation that God will provide when he comes. You know, and you spoke about the Advent wreath. A wreath is a circular, it's in a circle, it's in the form of a circle. So a circle, like a ring that couples give to each other on their wedding day, it symbolizes that it never ends. And we remember that God gives his only son to us because he loves us. And that circle, that never-ending circle, reminds us that God's love will never end for us. And then too, the wreath has the greenery, the evergreens. So it's eternal life. And that green life symbolized to us that God is giving us eternal life.
It's interesting that at one time, and even today to some extent, they have a period of, I wouldn't say a mourning, but certainly penance, because the church would take their new converts in at the time of Christmas or at the birth of Christ. And so they had a period of 40 days of fasting and penance prior to that time. Now, we see a little bit of that in our church today, but not a lot. Should that be a part of our Advent?
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately, we live in a world where everything is instant. We got same-day shipping with Amazon, instant messaging, text messages, emails. So we are not good at waiting. And waiting is a form of penance. And you might remember as a kid when you saw your name on a gift under a Christmas tree, and to wait, you know, 2 or 3 weeks to open that present, that's a painful experience. And so in order to wait, that's the idea is, waiting is penitential, because, in some ways as Christians now, we still are waiting for the coming of Christ in glory. And so that's why we try to incorporate moments of penance within this season of Advent, is so that we can truly celebrate when Christmas comes. you know, I think within our consumeristic society, there is no, Christmas is already here. And when December 25th comes, then Christmas is gone. And so there was really no waiting at all. And you can really only truly celebrate something if there's a period of waiting for it to come.
What you say about waiting for your presents is so apropos, because when I was about seventh grade, I wanted the watch. I wanted the watch so bad for Christmas. And finally, the boxes came, and when no one was looking, everybody was out of the house, I snuck in there and I opened up my present, watch. And I felt so guilty that Christmas. I know they knew I looked at it. I think they do. But I felt it yet. And that kind of ruined the whole thing for me, because I got the time of loss out of there, sure, instead of the time of expectations and joy. Father Anthony, speaking of penance, we used to have a penance service during Lent and during Advent. Now, will we have that this year?
No, we're not having a penance service, but what we're doing at Holy Family is every Thursday during Advent, I believe it begins at 7, Father Joe and I will be hearing confessions on every Thursday evening, so that it keeps the crowds. As you can remember, usually during Advent and Lent, we have penance services and we bring in, you know, 6, 7, 8 priests, and the church is full, and people have their options to go to different priests. But because of the COVID pandemic, we don't want crowds to limit the spread of the virus. And so we've decided to have 4 different Thursdays each week during Advent for the sacrament of penance or confession.
Okay, that makes sense. What about the Mass schedule? What are we going to have for Masses on the Christmas days? Because, you know, some of us seniors haven't been to Mass for a long time. And, you know, that hurts.
Oh, sure.
So will we have an opportunity at Christmas time to, how are you arranging that? What is the diocese doing about that, the parish?
Well, Bishop Spaulding has continued to dispense the obligation,
yes,
to come to Mass. And so it's really up to the individual and how they feel, how comfortable they feel in coming to Mass or not. We do have our live stream option. I think most churches do have their live streams. As you know, it's okay, but it's not the Eucharist. It's not the same.
It's not how it should be.
And it's not how it should be. Yeah. And there's penance in that. So I think what we're going to do, Par, is actually have a sign up and tickets for Mass, because as you know, when during normal times, I mean, it's shoulder to shoulder, front to back, it's just packed. And so I think what we're discussing right now is having a sign up for seats, so we don't have that overcrowding. And we usually at Holy Family add some Masses in the parish hall so that more people can come as well.
Well, I'm kind of in that age group where I shouldn't go out much. And about the only place I go is to the grocery store. And then everybody has masks on. You run in there, get what you need, and run out. But there certainly is that option. Father Anthony, I want to talk a little bit about the readings during Advent, especially those from the Old Testament, the first readings, because I think they're so, I want to say overlooked, but there's so much to talk about that people rarely get a chance to talk about the Old Testament readings. But I want to read for you and for our audience the short message from Isaiah in the first Sunday after of Advent. And he says, "Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways, and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Would that you might meet us doing right, that we were mindful of you in our ways. Behold, you are angry, we are sinful. All of us have become like unclean people. All our good deeds are like polluted rags. We have all withered like leaves, and our guilt carries us away like the wind. There is none who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to cling to you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us up to our guilt. It seems that that passage could have been written for 2020. We're miserable saved.
Yeah. Yeah. We're in a place where it's not as it should be. And, you know, the Israelite people, they, for many years were oppressed by foreign governments and, suffered plagues and, famines and whatnot. And so,
pandemics, perhaps.
And pandemics. Absolutely. You're right, Par. It sounds like it could have been written for 2020. But we have great hope, that, you know, God doesn't allow anything, evil to happen unless he can bring a great good out of it. And the best example that we have is that Jesus dying on the cross. It's an awful, awful scene, but through that, eternal life comes to us. Our salvation and hope, our hope and salvation comes to us.
Well, that's interesting, because the next Sunday, the reading is also from Isaiah, but it's from a few verses ahead of this. And he says, comfort, give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service is at an end. Her guilt is expiated. Indeed, she has received from the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hilltop shall be low. The rugged land shall be made a plain, the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Will we see that?
Absolutely, we will see that. You can hear the words of John the Baptist in there, who was the one that pointed the way of the Lord. And absolutely, we just have to wait it out. And I know it's painful, but the Lord will provide and he will make a way. We do know that he's a way maker.
Won't happen necessarily on Christmas Eve, though.
I can't. Unfortunately, I'm not a fortune teller.
But it is so. I just am always so amazed that the Old Testament applies as well today as it did 2,000 years ago, or 3,000 years ago.
Wow. Oh yeah, it's. I think Saint Augustine says the New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. It's really fascinating. You really can't make it up. It's kind of it bolsters my faith to see how they're so intimately related to one another.
I don't think there's a novelist who could put a story together like that.
No.
In the third Sunday of Advent, Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God. I rejoice heartily in the Lord, and my God is the joy of my soul, for he hath clothed me with a robe of salvation and wrapped me in a mantle of justice, like a bridegroom adorned with his diadem, like a bride bedecked with her jewels. As the earth brings forth its plants and a garden makes its growth spring up, so will the Lord God make justice and praise spring up before all the nations. Tell us about that.
One of the lines that sticks out to me is that he's come to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. I think we can all relate to that we've kind of been imprisoned in our homes. We've not been able to leave our homes. We've kind of been held captive by this disease, this pandemic. And one of my heroes is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he has some beautiful reflections upon Advent. And he was a Lutheran minister. And back in World War II, he found himself in a a prison. And he said that the season of Advent is only possible to those who are troubled in soul and know themselves to be poor and imperfect and who expect something greater to come. He wrote that while he was in prison. And he was in this prison and he couldn't get out of it. But the only thing he could do was hope that somebody would come with a key and unlock that prison cell and let him out. That's exactly where we all are right now, is that we are stuck in a place that we cannot get out of. And all we can do is sit and wait for the Lord to come with that key and to open these prisons that we're in. And then we can truly rejoice on that day when this cloud is moved away and the sun truly begins to shine on all of us.
Beautiful. One more reading from the last Sunday before Christmas. We hear these promises from God, this time from the prophet Samuel. I will fix a place for my people Israel. I will plant them so that they may dwell in their place without further disturbance. Neither shall the wicked continue to afflict them as it did of old, since the time I was first appointed judge over my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also reveals to you that he will establish a house for you. And when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you, spring from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. I will be his father, and he shall be his son to me. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever. Before me, your throne shall stand firm forever.
Yeah, these are certainly a beautiful passage from the prophet Samuel. And there's this line, let me see if I can get it right, that, you know, that Jesus, God comes to us in history, when he walked the earth, and in mystery. And so he comes to us in Mass, he comes to us in the readings, he comes to us in various ways in our time now. And then he will come in glory. So in history and mystery, and he will come in glory. And that's what we're looking forward to, that he will fix a place for us. And Samuel says, I will fix a place for my people, Israel. And we are his people, that Jesus in his new covenant has opened up his chosen people to all the baptized. And he's come to take us to that place that he has fixed for us. And so right now, again, we're not made for this world. We're made for heaven. And so we rejoice because one day Jesus will come back in glory.
Well, I've just with a few more minutes left. Talk to us a little bit about Epiphany, because the Christmas season really lasts until Epiphany. But what is the significance of the Epiphany?
Well, the Epiphany is, as I just said, that we kind of remember that, you know, God's chosen people were the Israelite people. But as Christ came, he came to save the world, not just the Israelite people. And at the Epiphany, remember, those three wise men came. And that kind of reminds us that that God was revealed, the Son of God was revealed to the world, to the entire world, for the entire world. And that's a great day to celebrate. At Christmas time, he was really only known to Mary and Joseph and to the Jewish people. But it's at the Epiphany where it goes from just the Jewish people to you and to me and to the whole entire world.
Pretty exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
I interrupt you, Father, because I enjoyed hearing you so much. But we are about out of time. Thank you so much for sharing this time with us.
Sure.
And thank you to our listeners. Without you, we wouldn't exist. Before I sign off, one quick story. A young man named Mike came to see me for his pre-qualification physical to join the Army National Guard. He was a handsome young 25-year-old guy, covered with tattoos. He told us spending his first 16 years in foster homes, changing homes at least twice a year, and quitting school as well a freshman in high school. At age 16, he took a job in the factory and emancipated himself. By 18, he was doing drugs, became an alcoholic, and was in prison twice. Then he told me he had impregnated his girlfriend before his 19th birthday. I began to think this man is not a good candidate for military service. But his spirit was uplifting, infectious, and his penetrating deep blue eyes begged me to continue listening. I couldn't help liking him. He told me he married his child's mother, the daughter of a Baptist preacher, and began to turn his life around because he had no idea who he was. He took his wife's maiden name because he loved and cherished his father-in-law. My wife saved my life, he said. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. Then he quickly added, so was my son. When he was born, I held him in my arms, and tears just washed my face. I couldn't believe I had helped make such a beautiful, helpless little baby. But his eyes were staring at me. All I could think was he needs a dad. I looked at those eyes and told him I was his dad. And I promised him I would take care of him, and I have. But then I felt like I needed a cigarette and had a full pack in my pocket. But I thought, he doesn't need me blowing smoke into his lungs. So I walked over to the waste vest and threw them away. I haven't smoked, used drugs, or drank any alcohol since he was born. And that was almost 7 years ago. And he's getting a little brother this fall. And I'll be home from basic just in time to see him. There was a moment of silence as I comprehended what he was all about. The poet tells us the child is the father of the man. I reasoned out loud. That's true for me, he answered. The child and his mother made a man out of me. I didn't ask where his inner strength came from, but I'm sure his father-in-law and his mother-in-law were a big part of that picture. It seems it's never too late to parent, or maybe it's just that they believed in him. I congratulated him, blessed him, and with tears on my face, I qualified him for the U.S. Army National Guard. Now we're just like Mike. We never know when Jesus will show up or who will bring him to us. Mike's father-in-law was Christ-like to Mike. He didn't look at his past, but he loved him into being a great Christian man. Now for your homework, get your family together and listen again to Father Anthony at www.parenting-matters.com. If you don't have an Advent wreath, go out and get one, or make one. It'll be more fun. Find an Advent book that has prayers for blessings and Advent wreaths, and discuss with your family how you will celebrate Advent. Finally, return to parenting-matters.com and tell us about your discussions. And if there's something you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let us know. We'll find an expert to tell us all about it. Thanks for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.